Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Odyssey celebrates Mother's Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Cody Decker.
He describes himself on Twitter as an anti-hero baseball player for the Royals organization. Sometimes an actor, rarely wrong, often a jerk, always adorable.
Host of Odyssey Sports Big Time Baseball Podcast.
The jawline, can't really beat it. I mean, from here up, not really good. You know, kind of like a soft four. From but here down, hard eight. So six.
Cody Decker on 670 The Score.
Welcome back into the Dan Burstein Show on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. I am Mark Grody filling in for Burnsy today, and one day only. It is indeed time to talk all types of baseball with Cody Decker. He is brought to us on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline. Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. Cody, what is on your brain right now?
Right now, this exact second, I can't get my computer to work, and it's very frustrating because I have about 14 more shows to do today. Outside of that, I'm great. I'm looking forward to a fun White Sox series against the Houston Astros, and I'm dreading every second that involves a Cubs game going forward.
Jeez, yeah. Well, I'll jump right in there then, because not only have the Cubs have lost 10 straight, the Braves team against which the Cubs will play tonight has won 14 in a row. So there's probably some sort of betting thing to be done with that, Cody Decker. And why are the Braves so good? Why have they won 14 in a row for those of us who haven't watched every minute of Atlanta Braves baseball?
One, they were good to begin the season. Quite frankly, this team, the moves they made, they were better than the team that won the World Series last year, unquestionably. And they got Ronald Acuña Jr. back. Even though he's had some injuries this season, this team is so much better than they were last year. Just look around the lineup. I mean, Olsen is just Freddie Freeman, only 6 years younger. This is a team that's not going to lose anytime soon. Their starting staff is incredibly young, and Anderson and Freed and McCullers Jr. This is just a team that's going to be good for a long time. And unfortunately, 14 in a row, I think it's going to be 15 after tonight. You mentioned gambling lines. Yeah, yes. Right now, the money line, there's absolutely no value on the money line for the Braves tonight. But you can get them on the run line at minus 110. I think there's some value in that. But there's definitely going to be a lot of prop bets to be get. Look throughout the game. There is so much money to be made throughout this entire game.
Yeah, the Cubs have Keegan Thompson starting tonight. He has struggled recently, and then going up against old dependable Charlie Morton. So I guess right there, Cody, I mean, from a analytical or gambling perspective, you know, Keegan Thompson, he has had a couple of duds recently, and I guess one would assume that it could be, and you could speak to it better from your experiences from watching other pitchers and players. It feels like Keegan Thompson may not be a starter.
No, but it's also, I haven't liked the entire starting staff that they've been putting out there. I've been talking about this last offseason, how this team didn't really go out and get any high-velocity power arms that they do have. They have a lot of pitch-to-contact starting type of pitchers in the Hendrixes, in the Keegan Thompsons. This doesn't mean they're bad pitchers. They're just, they need to be put in a specific role around other pitchers with specific roles. And I don't feel like this team has an identity on the pitching mound at all.
Yeah, and that's, I mean, I think they wanted, I'm not really sure what they were going for, to be honest. I mean, when you had Marcus Stroman and Kyle Hendricks and Wade Miley and Drew Smyly, and I you know, when there was a healthy Alzolay out there, I don't even know. I think that they're mixed up on the identity. And I guess that kind of brings us, Cody, to the bigger picture and expectations and some of the thoughts of, Jed Hoyer on where they are right now with this team and how quickly it should get turned around. How quickly should a big market team like the Cubs be expected to? For the sake of their fans, for the sake of doing justice to the business and to the league, how quickly should they be able to turn it around?
Honestly, they should be able to turn it around as quickly as next year. They're in the worst division in Major League Baseball next to the AL Central as well. I mean, this is the Cubs. They have money. They should never be in a rebuild. And keep in mind, rebuilds don't always work. They talk about this rebuild. How long is the plan for this rebuild? Are you planning to only rebuild from within? Are you going to be spending some outside money? Because they went out and got Seiya Suzuki. They went out and got Marcus Stroman. Those are two good pieces to fill around with other good pieces that you need to bring in. If they're not planning on bringing in more pieces, what was the purpose of bringing those two players in? Because this team's farm system is not good enough to put together a winner in the next 4 years.
Yeah, Cody, I totally got you. Totally agree with that. I mean, and this is probably why Jed Hoyer doesn't use the word rebuild at this point, because he knows that the fans are expecting there to be a turnaround, and they're not interested in sitting around for a couple of years for this team to be good, considering the alleged resources and what this organization, you know, has stood for or has been trying to stand for since essentially they brought in Theo Epstein, and that is turning it into a proverbial loser to a perennial winner, and that winning stuff has gone away. And so it becomes like this situation where you need your fix again. You can never go back to being mediocre. And having said all of that, Cody, is it fair to criticize David Ross at all under these circumstances or hold him responsible when they're in the midst of a 10-game losing streak like this?
To be completely honest, and I know a lot of people are looking over at the Phillies, they're looking over at the Angels and seeing them, but keep in mind, the Angels haven't turned anything around since firing Joe Maddon in any way, shape, or form. Only the Phillies have, and keep in mind, the Phillies aren't playing great baseball. They're just out-hitting other teams at the moment. So can you blame David Ross? Maybe there's a portion of blame that can maybe fall on his shoulders. I think there's a lot more in the front office. I think there's a decent amount on the field itself. But yeah, I mean, he's doing the best he can with the product that he's been given to put out on the field, and that's 2 years straight. So he's not exactly been put in a position to succeed as the Cubs manager in any way, shape, or form.
Very true. Let's go over to the White Sox, and they are at Houston tonight. The Sox are coming off of a 3-game sweep against Detroit. Yeah, but they looked really good doing it. And it feels like there's some momentum, but they're going up against Houston tonight. Let's do the scouting report from you on the Astros. Obviously, here they are again in first place, 39-24. What has been the best thing about the Astros this year so far?
Their pitching and their offense, pretty much everything. It doesn't matter. This team just figures out how to win. It's very, very impressive. Today they got Valdez on the mound. Valdez has been one of the best arms in baseball for about a year and a half. And he's definitely going to give the White Sox a big problem here, because the White Sox haven't been able to hit good pitching throughout the season. Yeah, they did exactly what they needed to do against Detroit. I'm happy they did it. Now they got to take that momentum. The big thing that I really was big on that Detroit series was watching Moncada get going. If that could be the start of something big for him, that would be huge. Also, a guy to watch out for this series is Jose Abreu. They are facing Justin Verlander on Saturday, but in case you don't know this, there's only one player in the history of Major League Baseball that owns Justin Verlander, and his name is Jose Abreu. He has 6 home runs. You heard that right. 6 home runs and 50 at-bats, not to mention he's hitting nearly 400 with like a 1,200 OPS. So, ooh. Yeah, watch out for Jose Abreu going off this weekend.
Wow. Okay. All right. That is some good advice. I love it. Yeah, White Sox at Houston. It's a Lucas Giolito night for the Chicago White Sox. And I know that you and Lucas are buddies. You had him on recently. I think you were on the Score doing Hit and Run. That was great, because he opens up to you and you guys get honest. And, you know, Lucas Giolito, it is, you know, he has lost a little bit of spin rate. We've seen the velocity down towards the end of games recently. How you think Lucas Giolito is doing?
I think he's doing okay, because after interviewing on Sunday, there was no sugarcoating anything that was taking place. He's freely aware what his issues are. And, you know, what we've been seeing from lately is dominant performances, usually from the first four innings. But that fifth and sixth inning is where he's been hitting a little bit of a wall, and he's more than aware of it. And this is what I love about Lucas, not just as a person, but as a performer and a ball player and a competitor. Having him on Hit and Run the other day, he was talking about as if he was taking on the blame. The responsibility is his, and he will get better. And the team is aware that they haven't performed to their abilities, and they will get better. They have a very favorable schedule going forward, and I'm hoping they can take advantage of that. They also has a little value of taking them in the futures market. This is a team that should win this division. This is not a great division. The Twins are in first place, yes, but they also lead Major League Baseball in getting shut out 9 times. The only other team that's been shut out 9 times this season, the Detroit Tigers. Oh, and by the way, in third place, the Kansas City Royals. Ooh. So everybody in the AL Central gets shut out.
Oh, man, you don't want to hang out with those teams, man. Those don't seem like cool teams to hang out with as far as any of the numbers are concerned, Cody.
No. Ugly, ugly, ugly. So it's, quite frankly, the White Sox should be able to take advantage of this division. Hopefully they do. But if they don't, man, listen, it's not for lack of trying. That's the one thing White Sox fans got to understand. They did spend quite a bit to put this team out in the field. They did get rid of a lot of prospects to get certain people to get on this field. This team is built to win. They just need to start winning.
Yeah, and they're right back in that position, a game under 500, and I feel like that they have been here before. Well, what goes into one of the things, and we are, I am keeping in perspective, baseball fans, it was Detroit. I know it was just Detroit. But the Sox look good in winning 3 straight games. And one of the things that they did particularly well in that series was, or did consistently, was 2-out RBIs. A lot of that in the series against Detroit. What does that mean, if anything, when a team is pulling something off like that?
They're being a little more aggressive, which is a good thing. And that doesn't mean aggressive early in the count. We know this team is very aggressive early in the count. They lead the major leagues almost every year in first pitch swinging. I mean, that's just what they do. But being aggressive and being smart with 2 outs. I mean, it's a give and take thing with baseball. When you're at the plate and you're trying to be aggressive with 2 outs, it's very easy to get yourself out all the time. This team has been pressing at the plate all season long. So to see them get aggressive and see it work out and see things start to click, also on top of that, not taking your foot off the gas pedal. We learned last year that this is a team that wants to put their foot on the gas pedal when they're beating up on a team, and their manager kind of had them pull back last year. This year, no more. You got to step on every team's throat at this moment. There are no safe leads in Major League Baseball, especially with the heat starting to warm up and the ball starting to fly a little bit. And if you believe certain rumors, the baseball is also changing at the moment. So watch out. A lot of runs are going to be scored. And if I'm the White Sox, if they have a 10-run lead, I don't care. Make it a 20-run lead. You do not stop putting your foot on the gas pedal for the rest of the season.
Wait, are you saying the baseball is changing again?
That's what the rumor is. Whether you believe it or not, I don't know. All I know is I've spoken to several front office people saying that Major League Baseball does intend to change the ball at one point and more home runs will be taking place. Whether or not that's true, we'll see. The numbers will speak for themselves.
It's happening again. You know, I don't know, Cody Decker, if people would have a problem with what I would like baseball to do. Just tell us. Just tell us. Here's what we're doing. For the first 30 games of the season, we're going to go with the Super Bowl because it's cold and it's nasty. And then we're going to change at some date. Pick your date. Then we're going to go with the dented ball for a while. Just tell everybody. Maybe that makes it more interesting. Instead, baseball makes everybody guess, and they're essentially cheating on one side of the side, whether it's the offensive players or the starting pitchers.
It's a controversy of Major League Baseball's own making. Every single time. They don't, all they have to do is just tell anybody the truth at any given moment.
We'd be cool with it.
And people complain. All they have to do is, like, we don't care. We're Major League Baseball. We're doing it. That's it. Yeah. And then the conversation is 100% over.
Yes.
Although, maybe it's a good thing because you and I get to do a lot of time talking about it on the radio.
That's for sure, man. No, I have always found it. Here's the part that I really found fascinating while we're talking about it, Cody, that there has never been, I don't think that there has ever been actual proof. Like somebody cut open a baseball after a game and they found out that it was 10 times bouncier. I'm always amazed that there hasn't been somebody, a whistleblower, like within the factories or somebody who is summoned to make this baseball. Somebody knows. Somebody knows what's going on with the baseball. Maybe it's just one craftsman that is making these baseball. Somebody knows what's going on, and nobody is leaking the information. Not one whistleblower. Somebody's being taken care of.
Well, keep in mind, the factory is in Costa Rica, and it was just moved to Costa Rica 2 years ago. On top of that, there are people that have broken down the balls and have done some deep dives and a lot of investigating. One person that's actually been on the Dan Bernstein Show a few times, baseball astrophysicist. She's gone head on with this thing for about a couple of years. Now, do I subscribe to everything she said? No, but there are some very interesting findings in breaking down the different baseballs over the last 5 years.
Meredith Wills, by the way.
Meredith Wills. Cody. She was at my wedding.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Meredith, what, did you guys talk about baseballs?
Not at the wedding. Her and my wife used to be roommates, believe it or not.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow. I just thought maybe she walked around with a bag full of baseballs, cutting them open and showing people things. Yeah, check this out. Check this
no,
out.
No, actually, she walks around with knitting equipment, and she watches baseball games, and she knits quilts.
Oh, that's fantastic. Yeah. I absolutely love it.
I have four of her beanies.
Are you serious?
Not kidding. This is 100% true. She came to one of my baseball games during spring training when I was with the Royals, and then she came. We went to lunch afterwards, and she gave me the beanie she made for me while she watched me playing for the Royals.
That is amazing. I did not know if you were being serious. I didn't know how to take that.
Everything I just said was true. This is not a joke. I have like three beanies from baseball astrophysicist Meredith Wills, who used to go to my games and make me beanies.
All of that. That sentence was deluxe that you just delivered to us here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. That was fantastic. I do want to ask you one more sort of fun sports radio type of question about baseball, and that is, and they can both be in the same league if you would like, who are right now the two best teams in baseball and why?
The Yankees, because they are the best team in baseball. This is a team that's healthy and unbeatable at the moment. Their pitching staff is it's unfathomably good. Gerrit Cole is their fourth best starter. And right now they have a problem when Chapman comes back on what they're going to do with the closer situation, because Holmes is by far the best closer they have, and Chapman has only been the worst closer in baseball for the last year. So they have an issue on their hands when they come back, because they got to keep Chapman happy while continuing to close out games. On the National League side, listen, I still think it's the Los Angeles Dodgers, even though I truly don't think they're going to win their own division. I think the Padres are going to win the NL West. They finally caught up to the Dodgers, and I don't see them letting up anytime soon. And at some point, they're going to get Fernando Tatis Jr. back. However, I do think the Dodgers are going to win the pennant.
Dodgers to win. Okay, I love it, man. Asked and answered. Thank you so much for joining us today. This is the final Dan Bernstein Show. I don't know if you've heard, Cody, but yeah, okay, you know what's going on. You got the memo. You're an Odyssey guy, right? You know what's up, yeah?
I don't know. I'm an Odyssey guy. I don't know anything.
Yeah.
Sometimes I find out when you guys tell me, baby.
I know. Sometimes it's better to not get every single email or message or text message.
Hey, but, listen, it's awesome, though. I mean, you take Dan Bernstein, Lawrence Holm, put them together, you got yourself pure gold. Oh. I cannot wait. It's already the best show on radio. I'm fired up.
Ooh, you just stirred it up. Leave it right there, Cody. Thank you.
No problem.
Bye-bye. That's Cody Decker. Did he just say it's by far the best show on the radio? I smell a challenge going out there. Score fans, so you know what the hell I am talking about. Starting on Monday, listen to the new Score lineup. Check it out. You got Mully and Haw kick off the day from 5:30 a.m. to 10 a.m. Then the new Bernstein and Holmes show from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Then Parkins and Spiegel drive you home from 2 to 6, followed by Gabe Ramirez and Cubs baseball nights starting at 6 p.m. So hey, we're not messing around. We're not doing the long play buildup. That will be happening starting Monday. So this is the final farewell show. This is it. If you would like, at 312-644-6767, this is the farewell show to the Dan Bernstein Show as he jumps in with Holmes on Monday. By the way, Lawrence Holmes actually will be in today for his show, and I will get to do transition with him. So we'll ask him about all this. We'll see what's going on, what his thoughts are on it. So looking forward to talking to Lawrence a little bit later on here today. Also, Steve Stone at 11, Joe O at 11:25. And when we return here, let's listen to what the Cubs general manager, the president of baseball ops, I should say, Jed Hoyer, had to say to reporters before the game yesterday, right here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Odyssey celebrates Mother's Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
The Dan Bernstein Show, 9 a.m. to noon on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
There's a deep drive to left. That goes Profar, makes the catch on the warning track, and the ball game is over. And San Diego has swept all four games here at Wrigley. The final today, 6-4.
If you needed just a little more from the Cubs before you said, eh, it ain't happening, eh, it's not worth it right now. If you needed just a clinching blast, the Cubs have given it to you in this San Diego series. And obviously during a 10-game losing streak, which the Cubs are in the midst of. It's not even, it's you could even narrow it down to a couple of the games recently where, okay, got it, gotcha, Cubs are not good. I know San Diego's really good, and they're a good team again. And they should be with the talent that they have stockpiled. But it is just, they just shellacked the Cubs, and the Cubs are looking abominable. You know, it's a good team being good, but it's also a bad team being bad at the same time. The Cubs lost 19-5 on Wednesday. I don't know. It's like all of a sudden position player pitching isn't funny or cute anymore. It sucks now because everybody does it. It feels like it's been like over the last even 10 years or maybe just since Joe Maddon. I feel like things like that have been happening more and more and more to where it's not as neat. It's not as neato as it used to be to see a position player come in at any time. And then the atrocious loss where the Cubs had a 5-0 lead with Kyle Hendricks on the mound, and they end up losing 12-5. Just atrocious. And there have been other atrocious games and series throughout the year. But these were kind of some of the – they're already like – up against the ropes, just do a old boxing analogy, and now they're getting knocked down, and it's getting ugly, and things are becoming obvious, and it's harder and harder to know exactly what we are watching.
Mark, to this point, how do you feel about some of the performances from the Cubs? What do you think is the most standout performance of the Cubs this season that's sticking in your head that you can hang your hat on at least?
I mean, maybe it's happening right now. Maybe it's Christopher Morel. Maybe it's Wilson Contreras. I mean, I think Contreras, nothing that Contreras is doing is surprising. So, and I know you didn't use that word, but I expected that to stand out. You know, I always expect Wilson Contreras to be good, but that's probably about the best thing. I would almost say objectively, right? Isn't Wilson Contreras the best thing about the Cubs this year?
Yeah, I think so. It's got to be.
Yeah. And Morel's been a really good story. And yeah, I mean, we get into like what are you really watching when it comes to the Cubs? And you know, are we really looking at Patrick Wisdom as a prospect? Are we really looking at Frank Schwindahl as a prospect? Not really sure. Is Ian Happ really a part of the next good Cubs team? Is he? Not positive, you know. I don't know. Is Nick Madrigal really a core piece, just having a bad year, and he's going to get back to the pedigree from which he comes, which is high first round selection, great contact, all of that kind of stuff.
I don't know.
No, and it's very difficult. Caleb Killian was such a moment of hope, wasn't it? Like his first game was like, there he is, finally a prospect. We've been waiting for a prospect because that's the way it's supposed to work, right? If you're bad, you have good prospects, right? So, finally, Caleb Killian is here, and we can all have dreams of this guy, you know, doing a 2 ERA in the big leagues just like he did in the minor leagues, and the Cubs will have won the Chris Bryant trade because he came from San Francisco. And then he pitched, and he certainly wasn't a phenom, and he was okay in his first game, and then it went south in his second game. So that is not to say that Caleb Killian won't have a very successful career. He still very well could. But we know, like, in the back of your head, you're still, admit it, you're like thinking, maybe this guy will be special. Maybe there'll be a breakthrough. And we know that at least we could tell that there's not going to be the special factor, I think, with Killian in terms of like his stuff. And like, there's nothing that you look at and say that is unhittable, that is ferocious, and it's never going to be hit. But let's bring this to the general manager of the Cubs, Jed Hoyer, who was speaking before the game. I believe it was yesterday Hoyer was speaking yesterday, and he makes a few comments, and the first one is let's figure out where Hoyer is in terms of his vision for this team and if anything has been altered or his confidence, or if that has been changed in any way, shape, or form.
You know, I know what I have a vision to build. I know what we built last time, and you know, I have all the confidence in the world that we're going to get there. But I also I'm aware that sometimes things speed up, and sometimes things slow down. And I'm not, you know, smart enough to know which of those are going to happen. But I do know, and I have the ultimate confidence, I know we're going to be successful. Just like I knew that same thing last time, and it doesn't make the day to day any easier. It doesn't. But you know, like I said, I have all the confidence in the world about, you know, the quality of the team that we'll build.
I do believe that Jed Hoyer is confident that they will be successful. I mean, he's had a lot of success, or been around a lot of success in his career. So, and has been in the ears of the right people in baseball, and we know he's smart, and I believe that he believes that he will be successful, and that he thinks he's got the right formula. But he kind of covered all sides of it right there. He kind of covered that it could speed up, that it's possible that it could slow down, and that he's smart enough to know that he can't just get up there and say, oh, well, of course, next year we're going to be good, or in 2024, you know, we are going to be competing with the Dodgers for prowess in the National League again. Like, that is not something that he can get up there and guarantee to anybody. But it does make you think about how fast things will move in this offseason. I mean, we could pretty well tell that this year is going to be just trash until the end, just the way it is going, the way this team was built, and it was not built to compete this year. But how fast will the Cubs? That's what we don't know. We don't know that. Obviously, things are not going to be done exactly the way they were, far from the way they were in 2012. We just don't know what he will allow himself to do. Hoyer, as in, will he go out and sign the big free agents? Will they do a full blast and build a team quickly in the offseason, or make real strides to do it? Or are there too many other parts that are in between? Those are things right now that we don't know. One of the things that I brought up to Cody Decker was the David Ross factor. He becomes very difficult to evaluate. He really does, because and you and I could look at the Cubs and say that they it's just not a talented roster. However, David Ross is the one that is presiding over a 10-game losing streak right now, and there were a couple of double-digit losing streaks last year too, albeit after everybody was traded. But I'm just saying that he is the manager. There, of course, is culpability. Let's listen to what Jed Hoyer had to say about his skipper, David Ross.
I think he's done a great job. He's the same person every day. You know, I think every conversation we have is about how to make guys better. I don't see any issues with him whatsoever. It's difficult. We've had some of the matchup stuff we planned out, or some of the platoons, or some of the things that we had hoped for, haven't materialized. So there's probably times he's not getting the matchups he would want, or things haven't lined up the way we probably planned, and so been playing with a short bench a lot of times, because of injuries, or our pen's been tired, and so he's had to stay away from guys. So I just think those are the things that, understandably, fans don't always know, like who's down, who's injured, who's available, who's not, and so I know those things, and so I know the various constraints he's had to work under because of our injuries and things like that. And I think all things considered, I think he's done a great job. I mean, he's frustrated, I'm frustrated. We sit there at midnight and talk through it, but all the conversations are really productive.
I believe Jed Hoyer there. Like, why wouldn't Jed Hoyer, in the midst of the, because only he knows what's really going on or what was really going to happen this year. And so when you are going through the rebuild, the transition, the whatever, do you probably need a partner in crime? You can't not get along really well with your manager. You have to both be in lockstep about how you want to build the team, what the approach is going to be at the plate. Yes, lineup construction would probably come into that. Like, you better have all of those ducks in a row right there and with each other, so you can understand why Jed Hoyer will not blink when it comes to just giving total and complete praise to David Ross right now. It's fair or not, when the team is ready to be good, that's when managing becomes more important for David Ross, as opposed to being a partner of the system right now, which is what David Ross is, and that is why. And if he's not, then it would be really weird to hear all the praise that was just being heaped on David Ross. Like, that is why Jed Hoyer is doing that, because he knows he has a great working relationship with David Ross. So life is very easy right now.
Well, you said it, Mark, about having a partner in crime, because it's got to have a unilateral, they have to be collected together in the same mindset with their vision. Because when you look at the way the roster is constructed, and this goes back to the conversation of the competitive window and, this is a big market team, this team should spend. Well, the way Jed Hoyer is doing it, you look at their farm system, their top 30, 7 of their 10 prospects are either in rookie ball or single A. So you think about what the currency of the game is right now, and that's the young prospects. That's what they're acquiring and trading off veterans over the last couple of seasons. However, the timetable gets altered if you spend big money on free agency when the team isn't good.
Right. Well, exactly. And an interesting one is, what happened to Seiya Suzuki? And I mean that as a player and a concept, because everybody was so excited about Seiya Suzuki and symbolic of the new approach of the Cubs, and he was terrific to start the season, and then he went into the slump, and then he's been injured, and the mania has just really taken a slide down. And I don't think that this is some sort of emergency. It's just amazing, in a relatively short period of time, going from, did the Cubs have like the next star? Did they did they make the best bid for the best player in the world, and that they onto something, and it felt like it, and they still might be. I understand that, but just going the volatility of the Seiya Suzuki world is just all over the board, and right now it's just like, where is he? It's like it's just almost forgotten right now. It was such a great thing from the 3-3-1. Why is Hayward playing every day? Because there's a place for him. I mean, you have to fill a team still. So, and I understand, like, there might be other players that maybe you want to see, but maybe not, too. So, I don't know. I mean, and that's another thing, too. I mean, you've got him on the you know, Jason Hayward, always two more years to go. But people ask this question all the time about Hayward. It's like, well, we need him out there. Like, he needs to play just to fill, you know, a mediocre starting lineup for the Chicago Cubs. So, yeah, the Cubs are very interesting, and this should have clinched it for you. That this team is not good, and playing Atlanta today with the Braves having won 14 in a row just doesn't feel very good. I have to clean up some things here, by the way, as it pertains to the show that I'm hosting right now. I'm Mark Grody, doing the Dan Bernstein Show, and I gave the new score lineup. I have been criticized here, Mike Rankin. You're looking at me like, what's going on here?
Yeah, where are you going with this?
Are we going off the rails here? A little bit. I got a texter who very angrily, I don't know if it was angry, it seemed very direct, said, don't forget about Dustin Rhodes' show, the Mully and Haw pregame show. Right, Brandon Fryer? I mean, yeah, exactly. So somebody's watching out for the Rhodes. The Rhodes show is coming soon.
The Rhodes show.
So that's 5 to 5:30 then, the Rhodes show,
sounds
right?
Like it, huh?
That's it. That's what Fryer
said.
That's
it.
Okay. That's it. Very good. He's got it. Yeah. Every day, Angel gets his wings. That's right. Dustin Rhodes will be doing the Mully and Haw pregame show from 5 to 5:30. I have to tell him, you know, Dustin should call me, because I actually did the Mully and Haw pregame show, the original, right? You guys know
I was there.
I was there. I did the original. A lot of people say that this was the original pregame. I did the original Mully and Haw pregame show during the pandemic or something. Are we still in a pandemic? I think it was during the pandemic that I was doing that, but I don't know. That's all in like a sacred force right now. Like, that was just a different world that we all lived in, and in many cases continued to do so. But so, okay. So you got that pregame show. Joe Bartosz, a BBM guy, score guy of the past as well. He said, dude, you killed the Dan Bernstein show. So these are issues that I am dealing with.
Yeah, this
right
is
now.
Your fault.
This is my fault. This is my fault. The score is changing, and I am right in the center of it all. Just here spreading my grody love. That is what I'm doing. And now I am breaking. Am I taking a break? I am taking a break right now. It is the Dan Bernstein Show. If you want to sneak in a call too, We've got some time for that as well. 312-644-6767. If you'd like to say hello, or if you'd like to talk about the Cubs, Sox, or Bears, we could do that as well. 312-644-6767. It's the Grody Show for the Bernstein Show for Lawrence Holmes on Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score.
And that'll do it. It's over. The Golden State Warriors return to a familiar place. They're on top of the NBA world. The fourth title in 8 years. The Dubs dynasty is still very much alive.
Mike Breen. Bang! Bang! Bang. NBA Finals. Golden State is champion again. They done it again. Golden State 103, Boston 90 to win game 6 of the NBA Finals. Steph Curry, MVP. It was great. I watched every second of the game. You know why? Because I felt Golden, like, from the beginning. I almost tweeted, but I wasn't in the mood for the attention, so I didn't tweet it, that it's over, Golden State, because we've seen this, man. If you watch the Bulls weren't always, like, pound for pound, moment for moment, like, should have won games. I mean, there were some moments where there was players on the other team that were having better series or whatever, but you just knew, like, when the Bulls were down or, like, it was time to win. When it was time to win, they would win, and that's what Golden State, I knew they were going to win, and they did just that. The guy that I think about, too, with Golden State as it pertains to them was one of the guys broadcasting last night, because, am I the only one left that feels bad for Mark Jackson because he was with Steph Curry and all those guys and got them, was very good, winning record, but then was let go, and then all of a sudden Steve Kerr comes in, I think the next year, right, and won the title, and Kerr's got four of them now. So it's just this horrible feeling I have for Mark Jackson that he could have gotten more, you know, he could have been a part of this. It's like Doug Collins almost, like when he would broadcast with the Bulls, and he had been let go under similar circumstances, like winning coach. So I always feel bad for Mark Jackson in that regard. But I also realized I had an impersonation of Mark Jackson, and sometimes my impersonations are imperfect, and they are only one or two words, and that is the case here with him. But it is really simple. It's two names. It's Al Horford. Al Horford is one of the names. Al Horford. And the other one is Marcus Smart. Marcus Smart and Al Horford. Those are two players you got to... Al Horford is one of them. Marcus Smart is the other one.
Marcus Smart making plays. Al Horford. Big-time shots this entire fourth quarter.
Al Horford. Marcus Smart.
Marcus Smart making plays. Al Horford.
I think Al Horford's better. Al Horford. Marcus Smart. So maybe I've got it all, but I just think Al Horford, he always, like, it's always got to be the full name coming out of Mark Jackson's mouth.
Marcus Smart making plays. Al Horford.
Al Horford. And you got Marcus Smart, but right over there, that's Al Horford. Kids, he's gonna be gathering the grandkids around. I want to tell you guys about an old player, Al Horford. Let me tell you about Al Horford. He got open. He made his three. Al Horford. And the same thing. Marcus Smart. His hair was green.
I really like your David Haw impression. That's probably my favorite.
Morning, Mike. Morning, Mike. Morning, Chris. Morning, Brandon. Morning, guys.
Morning, Mark.
Morning, Mark. Morning, Mike. Morning, Mike. No, like, Molly opened the show. Like, good morning, everybody. Good morning. Welcome into the show. And then, like, we're beyond the good morning, you know? And then, good morning. Morning. Morning, Mike. Morning, Mike. Morning, Molly. Morning, everybody.
Well, it's an appropriate greeting to start the show, right? I feel like everybody is welcomed in after David says good morning. Then it starts.
It is. And like I told Haw during transition, it is a wonderful manner. I mean, that is the way we should all be. Good morning to you. Good morning to you. It gets to a point where we as humans, when we know each other well, especially when we are doing our jobs and we all know what the jobs are, we just, you know, say, hey, what's up? Let's go. Let's talk. Let's go. Haw, that's his base. He needs a base. And the base is good morning and have a great show, guys. Have a great show, guys. Got to have that too, right? Like that has to, no matter what has been said already, great shows have been hoped for. Haw will give you the have a great show. I think he gave me one of those today. Not sure. I'm pretty sure, though. I got the have a great show. Have a great show, guys. Take care. Okay. Take care. Haw. We have coming up on this show today. We've got two very cool things. We're gonna the 11 o'clock hour is going to be dynamite. We are going to speak with Steve Stone about the Chicago White Sox, who are in Houston tonight. So I presume we'll be talking to Stoney live from, I'm sure, what is hot Houston, because it's always hot, and we'll hear what he thinks about Lucas Giolito and if the White Sox can conquer the Astros, the team which eliminated them in the playoffs last year. So we'll get into that with Stoney. We are going to go gambling with Joe Ostrowski in just a little bit, 11:25. And this all builds up to Lawrence Holmes at noon today. I will do transition with him and certainly ask him who he will be working with starting on Monday. I'm Mark Grody. This is Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
This is Haw.
Odyssey celebrates Mother's Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.